Jonathan Gold, thank you so much for joining us.
So glad to be here.
So City of Gold, it sounds like it's as much about Los Angeles as it is about you and your work. What do you think? Give me some reasons you think make that – here, let me put it this way. What are some of the reasons that Los Angeles has become such a, I think, unique place for different cuisines?
Well, it's one of the big centers of world immigration, obviously. And the communities are sort of big enough and spread out enough that people – that the immigrant groups especially tend to cook for themselves instead of cooking for one another. If you own a Filipino restaurant in Queens, you still take the subway every day. You still see – you know, people from every group. And if a non-Filipino comes into your restaurant, you have an idea of what they might like to eat. In Los Angeles, I think that might be less the case, which may be not as good for the common wheel, but is great for cooking.
How far do you push it, Jonathan? Ever come across a place that's so – what word should I use? Authentic and serious? There are two words. So authentic that you think the wider public might not be ready for it?
No, not at all. I don't tend to use the word authentic because authenticity in cuisine tends to be constantly changing, constantly mutable. But, you know, if I go to a place that serves only blood sausage and boiled intestines and I think they're completely delicious, then I'll write about them thinking that either somebody will read it and – think that what I'm describing is delicious enough that they want to try it for themselves, or they're living the blood sausage experience vicariously through my column.
Yeah, where you can think about eating it but not actually have to eat it. Now, there's a movement in the movie where you get kind of cloak and dagger here. You call for reservations. When you're calling for reservations, apparently you have a lot of mobile phones, so the number, the incoming number, can't be traced. Let's listen to this.
It's kind of like the fat man's version of the Bourne Identity.
So how does it work? I mean, you have several phones?
Yeah, I have some phones. There's a web service called Burner that I haven't used in a while, but I used to use that a lot. And I'm not anonymous anymore. I mean, obviously I'm in a film and I wrote a front page article in the Los Angeles Times a year ago where I explained the reasons that I wasn't anonymous anymore. The primary one being that almost everybody at the important restaurants in town knew who I was anyway. So it was just more a case of me pretending not to notice them, pretending not to notice me noticing them noticing me. Then it was any sort of like actual anonymity, any sort of stealth thing. But I try not to let them know I'm coming.
But that's a burden, a lot of responsibility that you have. I mean, if you like a place, it can really change things around for them.
It does, and I try not sometimes, but I try not to think about that. I mean, that's not my responsibility any more than it is the responsibility of a film critic to make sure that a film does well at the box office.
In fact, we'll listen to this clip from an Ethiopian place that was apparently struggling before Jonathan Gold wrote some nice things.
All of a sudden, the review came. I could not cook fast enough.
She could not cook fast enough once the review came out. So that doesn't preoccupy you. You're focused on the food.
Yeah, I'm focused on the food. I'm focused on the restaurant experience. I'm focused on sort of the music of the meal, whether the way that it fits into the culture. And actually, that story about Gennett, a wonderful Ethiopian chef in Los Angeles, I didn't even know until, you know, I saw a rough cut of the film. There's a firewall between critics and the people and institutions they review. So I don't actually know chefs and their stories all that well.
In other words, you often don't find out what happens next.
No, I don't. I have to review so many restaurants a year that I rarely have time to go back to the ones that I like a lot.
I want to ask you, though, do you ever worry that you are – this is the word we came up with – gentrifying these restaurants? A neighborhood place suddenly surges with sometimes richer outsiders, or the other way to look at it, the Heisenberg uncertainty principle on steroids, your presence changes the experience ultimately?
That's funny. I think about the Heisenberg uncertainty principle of restaurant criticism a lot. I know that there are neighborhoods that have people suddenly learned about when they go to a place that I've reviewed and they look around and they see the food's great and they see that the neighborhood's interesting and the people are charming. And maybe it's a little impetus for them to at least think about the neighborhood as a place they might move to. I mean, I know there are places like Highland Park, for example, that have completely changed in the years since I've been reviewing them, or parts of downtown Los Angeles. But the great thing about writing for the Los Angeles Times is that when I write about a Cambodian restaurant in North Long Beach, I'm being read by Cambodians in North Long Beach. It's not I'm not writing for tourists. I'm writing – it's the paper of the community itself.
It's interesting. What do you think of apps like Yelp in which anybody can try their hand at what you do?
I like a lot of things about Yelp. I mean, its maps part of the app is brilliant, and I think – and it's really good as a set of data points. I mean, they have this little like medallion they award you if you're the first to review a restaurant. So often there'll be areas with, you know, 75 identical looking like Taiwanese cafes or something. And because everybody wants that little badge of honor, people get to all of them. Is it useful as more than like an address book? I don't know. I wouldn't use it to choose what restaurant to go to, but it has its place in the ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, they have to be read critically, right? I mean, you often see these reviews. It was a fabulous meal, but my entree came 11 seconds late, so I'm going to give it, you know, demerits. I mean, you see those kind of mistakes all the way through.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's useful as a series of data points. It's invaluable because in a way, because if there's a restaurant in a far-out neighborhood that's patronized by Indonesian teenagers, what Indonesian teenagers think of it is not irrelevant, and it was impossible to access before. That being said, it's not very good. In fact, it's really, really bad at putting things in a larger context, which I suppose is the role of the critic.
How do you get started when thinking about where you're going to go next? Do you have a series of tipsters? Do you do online research? Because the world, at least Southern California, is your oyster. You can go anywhere.
Sort of all of the above. I mean, I find stuff online. There are, for example, for Chinese restaurants in LA, there's a message board called Chiwo that's in Chinese, but with Google Translate, I can have a pretty rough idea of what's going on, and maybe there'll be a new restaurant there, or maybe there'll be a restaurant I know about that turns out to specialize in something that I didn't even know they served. Sometimes it's going to, you know, foreign language newspapers, and sometimes it's just shoe leather. That being said, I am the restaurant critic for the LA Times, and probably at least two-thirds of what I do is not these kind of restaurants or the sort of restaurants that any other critic would do. But instead of doing the, you know, 17th best Italian restaurant in Brentwood, I love searching these places out.
By the way, you use Google Translation. I mean, that has to have led you astray from time to time. You go in thinking you're going to get the tripe and you end up with the head cheese or something.
Oh, yeah, all the time. But that's part of the fun of it. I mean, looking at menus too, there's a northern Chinese restaurant serving more or less Dongbai style food that has four different kinds of cumin lamb on the menu, two of which are shrimp.
That sounds good right now. So what have you been tasting that's good lately?
The place I went to this week that I really love is a new Chongqing-style noodle shop called Mian. from the owners of a place called Chengdu Taste. They do different kinds of zhajangmian with like bean paste and crumbled pork and pickled vegetables that are just dynamite. They make their own noodles.
Funny you should mention that. A while back when I was visiting Southern California, I went to Chengdu Taste in Alhambra, California, on your recommendation. I had those mung bean noodles with the Sichuan peppercorn.
Aren't those great? Yeah,
they almost burned my eyeballs out, but yeah, they were great. So thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, the documentary is called City of Gold, about the culture of Los Angeles through the eyes and palate of a good critic. The movie comes out March 11th. Jonathan Gold, the doc's protagonist and LA Times food critic, thank you.
Thank you.